the 25th of December. There's some discussion on the internet.
Even next week, even next Sunday, the title of it. So you must have been here, Sunday.
Yeah, so thanks for God, we did not stop a meeting today, so we come together. Today is day to remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to discuss the topic of the wisdom. So when we mention the wisdom in a family, who desires the wisdom the most? In another way, it's whether it's the parents or the kids.
是家长还是孩子？孩子。家长有的时候呢特别体贴，有的时候呢哇恨铁不成钢。
The parents, of course, sometimes always loving, sometimes probably, you know, hate because the kids are not really performing.
俗话说，可怜天下父母心。
So the Chinese idiom always says, the most appreciated are the hearts of the parents.
在现如今的年代,
so in today's world,
其实哪一位家长不希望自己的孩子长大之后能够成为一位<coughs>
There's no parents who do not want their kids to grow up, become someone who are wise.
那请问人的智慧从哪里来?
But the question is, where is the origin of our wisdom?
人的智慧如果遇到上帝的智慧，那个时候会是怎么样的一个情形？
So what would happen if our wisdom, when encountered with God's wisdom?
昨天晚上我在饭桌上跟一对新来的朋友，他们都是从硅谷过来的。那我提到这个话题的时候，我说人的智慧和上帝的智慧碰到一起的时候，他们说从来没有想过这个。So
last night I had a conversation with two new friends who visited us from the Silicon Valley, and I asked them this question, and they said they never thought of such a question.
那这就是刚才也是昨天晚上我们都读过的这段经文，马太福音二章一到多少节，十二节。我邀请大家一起来学习思考一个主题，这就是无与伦比智慧的彰显。So
we read those scriptures last night as well. So why this 12 verses from Matthew 2, and we'll learn this topic.
我想请大家翻开你手头的圣经，在马太福音二章一到十二节这段经文中，刚才我们读了，昨天晚上也读了，提到耶稣用几种直接的或者是间接的说。If
you turn to Bible, and from these 12 verses, there are several ways Jesus was referred.
So
there are four ways Jesus was referred as. One is as Jesus, second as King of the Jews, third as the Messiah, and four times mentioned as a child.
那其他的人物呢有 东方来的几个博士,
there are other characters in this passage.
提到了希律王,
there's the Magi, the King Herod.
提到了耶路撒冷合成的人,
the old people in old Jerusalem.
祭司长、民间的文士，
the chief priests and the teachers of the law，
还有耶稣的母亲玛利亚，
and the and Mary， the Jesus mother。
那想请问，在这段经文中所提到的人物中，从东方来的那几个博士算不算有智慧之人？
The question is whether the magi from the east are the
博士、博学之士
are wise people? Yeah, they are actually in today's world, you know, they are doctors and PhDs.
他们理所当然的能够被称为有智慧的人吗？
They're of course very wise.
那希律还有祭司长，还有民间的那些文士们，可不可以说是也是一群有智慧的人
？Can we say, King Herod, the chief priests, and the teachers of the laws are also wise people?
他们不单是，而且是，因为他们是聪明有智慧的犹太人中的更有智慧的人。
Of course they were, because they probably are the smartest among the smartest Jewish people.
所以现在我们就来认识一下这些博学之士、大有智慧的人，他们呢在遇到上帝的智慧的时候所展现的是怎么样的情景。
So let's learn together, see when those wise men encounter God's wisdom, so what's going to happen?
首先我们就从马太福音二章一到二节来思想外邦人的智者切切的寻求。
So from verse 1 and 2, we'll learn about the earnest quest of the wise men of the Gentiles.
马太福音二章一节，当希律王的时候，耶稣生在犹太的伯利恒，有几个博士从东方来到耶路撒冷。
So here it says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea. During the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem.
咱们每年都在读这段经文，都在温习这段经文。
So every year,At least we read it once, this verse.
那我不知道弟兄姐妹想过没有，说当主耶稣降生到这个世界的时候，除了他的妈妈玛利亚，还有他的爸爸约瑟以外，谁会料到他是上帝的儿子
？Did we ever think about besides Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, who else actually thought he was the Messiah?
上帝的儿子竟然在冬天的季节里降生在那阴冷潮湿的、四处透风的、周围弥漫着马粪骚臭味的马槽中。
And the Son of God was born in during winter, in such a cold, damp, unenclosed, horse dung smelling manger.
而且更加令人稀奇而不可思议的是，这被誉为犹太人的王。牧羊以色列民的君王主耶稣诞生的消息。
And also something even more marvelous was this called the King of the Jews and the Messiah of the Israel.
除了路加福音二章记载的天使在夜间报喜讯给那一群旷野的牧羊人之外
，except Luke chapter 2 reported.The shepherds in the fields was informed by the angels during the night about this news.
当时居住在犹太京城耶路撒冷的国王、高官贵族们，竟然是从一群来访的外国人的口中得知这个消息。
Can you believe actually the king and the gentle the nobleman actually learned about this news from a group of foreigners.
那这几个博士到底是何方圣人，是如此得到如此重大的信息的
？So who were those magi, and how they learned this very important news?
刚才咱们读那一段经文，我不知道文文是从哪儿下载的，是新译本吗？还是现在中文译本
the English, I mean the Chinese version we just read, I don't know which translation that was.
我们看这几个版本。
There are several versions.
赫赫本是博士。刚才我们读的那个是星象家。那现在还有吕振中译本是占星家，还有新汉语译本是术士，还有最新的一个 Chinese 一个 English version 是智者。
So in those several versions, the magi was translated into different terms. So one of them is called them astrologists. One of them called their warlock or sorcerers, and one version called them wise men.
那经文这里指的博士，实际上指的是希腊世界中的怎么叫？这叫magi。他们是泛指的是术士和占星学家。
So that word was really was derived from the Greek world, really broadly point to a group of people who were astrologists and sorcerers.
那这些人在当时的许多国家里边已经发展成为人数众多的，有的叫僧侣，有的叫祭司，形成了一个阶层了。
So back in the days, in many countries, they already become a class of the society, and many of them became priests.
所以当时这一类人从事解梦、法术、星象等等各种各样的活动。
So what they do is professionally they helping people to understand their dreams and to exercise witchcraft crafting and also study the stars and the moons.
那用今天的话呢来讲，他们就是一群致力于揭示和研究世间奥秘的一群人。
So using today's word, there are a group of people who are really trying to learn and reveal and research on the mystery of the universe.
所以就相当于今天的一群这个院那个院的一群大科学家们。
So they actually are in today's world probably they are the scientists.
所以很明显，他们应该是古代各国的。 泛神论者们，
yeah, it's very obvious, and they are probably the pantheists of the ancient countries.
他们相信并且朝拜各种各样的神，各国的神，就像我们今天许许多人曾经的生命一样，见庙就进，见神就拜。
So they believe and also worship all kinds of gods, just like you know some of us. Will enter any temple to giving their sacrifices.
所以他们来到耶路撒冷的目的非常明确。
So their purpose to come to Jerusalem was very clear.
这就是马太福音二章二节，他们说那生下来做犹太人之王的在哪里？我们在东方看见他的星，特来拜他。
The purpose was, as you indicated, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when he rose and had come to worship him.
那就这一句经文，古往今来，许许多多的解经家试图来通过研究月亮啊、木星啊、土星啊、彗星啊等等的天文现象，来去证实这些经文里边所提到的外邦智者们所看到的那颗星。
The exegetes, throughout the history, are really trying to know. Which star it was through their research about the moon, the Jupiter, the Saturn, and the comets.
请大家看一节经文，就是民数记24:7节节序的一段，有星要出于雅各，有杖要兴于以色列。So
another verse here from the Numbers 24:17 says, a star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel.
这是在以色列人出埃及往迦南美地的途中。
This is a story about when Israel going to the land of Canaan.
遭遇到摩亚国摩亚王的拦阻。
Was intercepted by the king of Moab.
那摩亚王当时请了一位外邦的一个先知来咒诅以色列人的时候。
Story was the king of Moab invited a Gentile prophet. Prophet to curse Israel.
那耶和华上帝不单透过那位外邦的先知叫什么呀？巴兰，透过他呢发出的这段预言。But
actually, God used the prophet. His name is Balaam to make that prophecy.
而更是透过巴兰他自己。 陪着他从小到大，他的坐骑一头毛驴儿也张口说话。
Even God to use a donkey, Balaam rode when he was a child to speak.
那个毛驴几次三番的，先是拦阻他撞墙，不让他往前走。
The donkey was really trying not to take to dissuade him.
那最后呢，竟然张开口跟他说，劝阻他不要行耶和华上帝看为恶的事情。
And eventually the donkey talked to him, not doing anything wicked in the eyes of the Lord.
其实当时呢，耶和华的先知天使拿着剑，让驴先看见了，没让他看见，后来才给他显现。
Because the angel was shown to the donkey first before he revealed himself to Balaam.
那我们来思想一下，上帝既然可以采用我们人类眼中看为一种超自然的方法，感动外邦的先知述说关于以色列未来的预言。
So if God can use any supernatural power to show revelation to the prophecies.
既然可以采用我们人类看来超自然的方法，是毛驴开口讲话。
He uses his supernatural power to enable a donkey to talk.
也一定能够在特殊的时间、特殊的地点，采用超自然的手法，让一群犹太人以外的特殊人看见一颗散发着特殊亮光，并且会移动的星星。
So God must be able to pick a very special time, special location, and use this very supernatural power to show the Gentiles a brighter special star.
耶利米先知曾经说过一句话，说在他没有难成的事。
And Jeremiah once said, "Nothing is too hard for the Lord."
有人读过这本书没有？
Has anyone read this book?
1901年到2000年，诺贝尔奖获得者大全。
Is the who's who of Nobel Prize winners?
有人见过这本书没有？因为它没有翻译成中文。
It wasn't translated into English, Chinese.
那在中国大陆有人，我说这个人是还没有成为基督徒的一个人，他翻到这本书，他说闲暇觉得没事了，我就翻这个书，然后呢，根据里头提供的信息呢，将所有的获奖者的宗教信仰的状况进行了一个统计。
Someone from mainland China read this book and did a statistics about the winners.
他有一项统计的效果，结果呢显示，他说把诺贝尔奖的获得诺贝尔奖的物理学奖、化学奖、医学和生物奖以及统经济学奖获得者，他找到了，统计出来是512个人。
So the statistics shows for the winners of the physics, the chemistry, medicine, and the psychology and the economics, there are total winners about 512 people.
那这四类人中，其中512四类人中，基督徒231，占45.1%。
So among the 512 people and the Christians were 231, about 45.1%.
犹太信徒有103人，占20.1%。
And the people who believe Judaism is 103, about 20.1%.
其他宗教信徒呢，信仰者呢，是8位，占1.6%。
And other religions believers about eight people is 1.6%.
当然，这个统计结果里面还有其他的不信、没有信仰宗教或者有信仰宗教背景的人，占一些比例。
Of course, there are atheists also among the rest of the winners.
我看到这个信息，我在想哇，如果按45%来算，那咱们南湾地区所处的这个圣约瑟夫县有多少人呢？大概现在应该有2000的华裔了。
So if I see the 45% of Christians, I take that into Central County, and look at the Chinese, probably our census is going to show we have around about 2,000 Chinese.
如果这样算的话，我们南湾地区的基督徒应该能有多少人？ 45% 2,000的话，多少人呢？ 应该 900人呢。
Yeah, so if we do apply the 45%, we should have a 900 people here.
所以我说，大使命尚未成功，弟兄姐妹们仍需努力。
So the great mission from our Lord is not done yet. So we still need to working harder.
那没成想，那篇统计的分析的文章在中国大陆的一些期刊和网上发表之后，
Once the statistic was known in mainland China on the web or on the journals,
竟然遭到不信者的强烈的攻击，
and the atheists actually attacked this,
并且由此引发了广泛的讨论，
and really had a very wide and deep discussion about that discovery.
那在此我想请问弟兄姐妹们， 科学家包括现代当代被我们人类誉为伟大的科学家们，
so the question to us is the scientists, We of course call them they're the greatest.
他们相信上帝与否，与上帝存在与否有影响吗？
Whether they believe the Lord, that God exists or not, does that have any impact on the fact that God exists?
用大陆一句流行的话，没有一毛钱的影响，没有丝毫的影响。
There's no dependencies there at all.
反而正是那些相信或者不相信上帝的科学家，他们都在致力于探索、挖掘，从地面到海洋、到天空、到宇宙，帮助我们一步一步地揭开认识上帝创造的那个奥秘，是不是？
Yeah, whether they are the believers or unbelievers, those scientists, they all strive to explore and excavate, whether from the ground or the ocean, even to the sky and the universe, and one step at a time to review and understand the creation of God.
这就是上帝的幽默所在。
So this is really sort of the humor of God.
所以请弟兄姐妹注意马太福音2章2节这里描写的那几个外邦人，我称他是智者，他们其实并不是在问一个问题。
I want to point to the question, the Magi from the East.
他们不是在问说那个出生之后要成为犹太人之王的在哪里？
So the question was not, where is the one who will become the king of the Jews?
用的是非常确定的词，他在问说，那位生下来就是犹太人的王在哪里？
The question was very firm, and the question was, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?
外邦人的智者切切寻求的一句问话，居然刺痛了什么人的神经啊？
Why does this question and the quest of those Magi probably got on someone's nerves?
刺痛了相信上帝的犹太人的王以及百姓的神经。
It definitely got on the King Herod and the whole Jerusalem's nerve.
那引致的结果是什么？
So what's the result?
犹太人的王者暗暗的盘算，前面是外邦人的智者切切的寻求，那这儿3到8节呢？马太福音2章3到8节展示的是犹太人的王暗暗盘算。
So from verse 3 to 8 really shows the sly scheme of the King Herod.
我们来看第3节， 希律王听见了就心里不安，耶路撒冷合成的人也都不安。
3 here says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him.
我们再看2节译本， 李真中译本说， 希律王听见了就震荡不安。
So there's some other translation said he was shocked.
新汉译本说是慌张不安， 耶路撒冷上上下下也跟着他一样慌张不安。
translate as a panic.
那像请问希律王 和耶路撒冷的百姓，他们震荡、慌张、不安。原因是同一个吗？
It was the same for the same reason why the king and the whole Jerusalem panicked or disturbed or shocked.
原因可能有直接，还有间接的原因。
Probably have a direct and indirect reasons.
那我们先来了解一下西律王他震荡、慌张、不安的原因。
So that's see the reason why the king Herod was disturbed.
这位西律王是新约圣经中记载犹太的西律家族王朝中的第一代的大西律王。
And he's the first generation of the king of the four generation dynasty.
他本身并不是旧约圣经中雅各的后代，犹太人、以色列人。
He was not a descendant from the Jacob and was not a descendant of the Israel.
而是雅各的哥哥以扫，他的后代以东人。
He was a descendant of Jacob's brother Esau, and is a Edomite.
他后来移民到犹太的南部地区，被称为以图买人。
So they moved to the south of Judah, and they all being referred as the Edomites.
那他的父亲为罗马帝国征战，取信于罗马政权。
So his father fought for the Roman Empire and was trusted by the government.
所以年轻时的希律是一个有政治天赋的官二代。
So young Herod was the second generation of the Roman officer, and he who had a great political talent.
那据传他曾经救过罗马凯撒大帝一命。
So the rumor had it he actually saved the life of Caesar.
所以逃得了罗马政府的任命。
And he was appointed as official.
加上后来他采用手段呢，娶了两位犹太的犹大王朝他们皇室的后人为妻子。
And he planted his marriage with two ladies from the royal family of the Jews.
从而获得了以色列王位的继承权。
So he took the right to the throne.
最终呢，名正言顺的成为统治犹太全地的王。
And so he became the ruler of the Jews.
那掌握了王权之后
，So once he became the king,
他为了讨好罗马政府，采用强硬的手段维持社会的秩序，扩大管辖的领土等等。
So he ruled with tyranny, and expand the land he governs.And to really please the Roman government.
那也，他一方面呢，又为了安抚犹太国的民心，他大兴土木，扩建耶路撒冷圣殿。
So on the other hand, he is really trying to please the Jews, and he building rebuilding the holy temple.
修建该萨利亚的港口，多达几十处的建筑，等等等等。
Another tens new architecture, including the port of Caesarea,
并且完善农业水利的设施
，and really to improve the irrigation system.
就这个大希律王呢，他另外一个特点就是他有极强的权力欲和嫉妒心。
So Herod was a man who has a very strong desire for power.
生性猜疑，残忍疯狂。
He's envious and he's suspicious, and he also crazy and cruel.
所以他先后杀死了他身边的亲信。
He killed many of his royal followers.
杀了他曾经最喜爱的一个妻子，还有至少两个或者三个儿子。
And he killed one of his most loved wife and at least two or three.
而且还杀了他的七舅，杀了王室的他的外公。
He also killed his uncle-in-law and his grandpa.
为此，罗马帝国皇帝雅古史都呢，曾经刻薄的嘲笑他，有一句话。
So the Caesar Augustus once actually ridiculed him.
说做希律王的猪。比做他的儿子好得多。
Actually, sarcastically laughed at him. So what he said was, to be Herod's pig was even better than to be his son's.
为什么呀？犹太人不杀猪，不吃猪肉。
Because as Jews, they don't kill pig, they don't eat them.
所以，当那几位来自东方外邦人的智者切切寻求生下来就是犹太人的王在哪里的这个消息传到王宫的时候
，So when this the earnest quest of those magi coming to the ears of King Herod，
正是这位犹太王处在晚年重病卧床不起的时候。
That was a time he was old。And he was a bedridden.
那当时对他来讲最痛苦的一件事情呢，就是面对丢下王位而死亡的恐惧。
And he was sick too, and the most painful thing for him was to let go of his throne and to face the death.
他最不愿意想的就是犹太人听见他的死讯后会欢欣鼓舞的那个场面。
One thing he tried not to think was the joys coming from the Jews once they heard the news of his death.
所以此时此刻，这个时候，耶路撒冷合成的百姓为什么惶恐不安呢
？So why the whole Jerusalem was disturbed?
因为他们想起来这个王就不寒而栗。
Because of this king, the fear of this king.
那当他们听到有一个新生王这个消息的时候，不但不能勾起他们盼望弥赛亚救主来临的那种欢呼雀跃。
So when they heard the news, a new coming king, that cannot really giving them hope and joys to hope for the Messiah.
带给他们的是，如果这个消息激怒了希律王，他大开杀戒的那种恐慌。
Instead, with fear, because they knew this will iterate the King Herod, and that maybe some kind of massacre going to happen.
因为有一条消息已经私下的在耶路撒冷全城在传递。
And there was a rumor throughout the city back then.
大希律已经下令他的心腹。
And the king already. Passed his
要将数以百计的犹太权贵领袖人物关押在一个特殊的地方。
And the decree was to imprison hundreds of Jewish noble people.
这个命令说，一旦他去世，要先把这些犹太领袖都杀掉以后，再宣布他的死讯。
So once if he was dead, the first he gonna kill all the leaders of Jews.
这样，犹太人的每家每户必在他的葬礼中哀哭。
Then he will make his making the announcement of his death. Therefore, all the Jews will be crying during his funeral.
所以在这种背景下，我们看下边的经文。
With this background, let's going to look at verse 4.
马太福音二章四到六节。希律王就召集了祭司长和民间的文士，问他们说：“基督当生在何处？”他们回答说：“在犹太的伯利恒，因为有先知书记着说，犹大地的伯利恒啊，你在犹大诸城中并不是最小的，因为将来有一位君王要从你那里出来牧养我以色列民。”
The King Herod of course called the authorities and chief priests and to asking to verify this prophecy.
那在证实了基督。也就是君王诞生的预言确有其事。
So once this prophecy was confirmed,
并且核实了诞生的地点之后
and also confirmed the place.
那群祭司长和民间的文士，这些精通以色列律法和旧约圣经的犹太的精英们。
So those actually are the elites who knew the law.
犹太人中最有智慧的领袖们。
And probably the most wise leader,
对弥赛亚救主诞生的消息竟然毫无反应。
And they really did not react to this prophecy at all.
不声不响的就被打发走了。
And King Herod actually just sent them away without doing anything.
走了之后呢，就是七节到八节，当下希律王暗暗地招了博士来，细问那星是什么时候出现的，就差他们往伯利恒去，说：“你们去仔细寻访那小孩子，寻到的就来报信，我也好去拜他。”
After Herod sent those wise men's way, send those teachers and high priest's way, they actually call the Magi secretly and ask them the question.
那像请问犹太王所吩咐的这番话，那几位来自外邦的智者们，他们相信了吗？
So for what the king and the herald told the Magi, did actually did they believe?
我们可以设想一下当时的状况，有国王亲自出面以高规格的国礼，叫国宾礼仪来迎接。
We can actually put ourselves in the Magi shoes because the king actually greeted you personally.
上等的佳肴美酒款待。
And to receive you as a national gift guest, and to treat you with the best food and the wine.
然后为他们备足路途所需的费用和物品。
And even giving them what they need for their trip.
就差他们往伯利恒去。
And then send them away to the Bethlehem.
大希律王，希律王的儿子，这是几位智者。 好吃好喝，好招待。他们上路道别的时候 ，maybe 还会说呢，说保持说您就等着我们的好消息吧，希律王。Probably
said, "Just wait for our good news."
其实就像我们今天在座的许多弟兄姐妹一样。So
just like many of us here today.
我们和生活在这个世界上许许多多的人都一样的。
So we're just like the others living in this world.
不是每一个人都在教会里生活长大。
So not everyone grew up in the church.
原本不熟悉甚至不知道教会的生活、教会的语言。
We do not know what the church life is like. We do not know lingo of the church.
更不明白人为什么要找耶稣。
And do not understand why we wanted people need to seek Christ.
那当我们受洗进入教会生活之后，时间长了，甚至还会想不明白，说我们的家人朋友，还有我们这个圣约瑟夫县的95%的华裔同胞们，为什么他们不来参加教会的生活
？Once we became a Christian and sort of experienced the church life, sometimes we probably even think about why our family members. And the rest of the 95% of the Chinese in the county, why did they come to the church?
这就是为什么上帝以我们能够理解的方式，差派他的儿子耶稣基督来到我们身边，来寻找我们，让我们认识他的原因。
This is the reason why God actually sent His Son to seek us, and so we can know Him.
那我们接下来的经文9节到12节呢，向我们展示的。 其实呢，是令人匪夷所思的，就是一些不可思议的事情。So,
from verse 9 to 12, actually really showing something is unimaginable, for people.
马太福音2章9到12节，泛神论者的敬虔奉献，竟预言了基督的升天，也就是他降生的目的。
It's actually really, the Magi's dedication, unexpectedly, prophesied the purpose of Christ.
我们看经文马太福音2章9到10节，他们听见王的话就去了，在东方所看见的那星忽然在他们前头行，直行到小孩子的地方，就在上头停住了。他们看见那星就大大的欢喜。
It says after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was.
那弟兄姐妹，请问。 是什么人最先得知了小 baby 耶稣基督在伯利恒降生的消息？是什么人啊
？Who was the first group of people who learned the news about the born of the baby Jesus？
就是昨天我们读过的，在路加福音2章8到20节所记载的一群在伯利恒郊外夜间露宿、轮流看守羊群的牧羊人。
Yeah, those were the group of shepherds. We read from Luke second Luke 8 to 20.
那这是一群什么人呢
？Who were those people？
他们是一群生活在犹太社会最底层的名不经传、名不见经传的最卑微的人。
they were really a group of unknown and probably the lowest class of the Judah society.
与那些活跃在王宫贵族上流社会的，当时被誉为大科学家的外邦的术士、占星家们相比。
So when you compare them with those noble people of the Jews and those so-called scientists, those sorcerers and archaeologists,
从身份地位、从文化水平来看，是不是他们之间有着巨大的反差？
There was such a big contrast, huge contrast, from their the social class as well as their education.
那我想请问。 牧羊人是怎样得到消息的？是怎样得到消息的？
But how did those shepherds learn the news?
是上帝差派天使、天君亲自显现，并且亲口告诉他们的。
But God actually sent the angel and the army to show and tell them directly.
那这些外邦的智者是怎么得到消息的？
But how those magi learn this news?
是上帝借着一颗明亮的星星，无声无息的启示并引导他们。
As you use a bright star and leading and guiding them.
这两者有什么区别？
What's the difference?
记得我曾经在这里跟大家分享过，说根据有关资料，在主耶稣诞生前后那个时代里。
I think I used to share this before based on this picture. Around the time Jesus was born,
管理服侍耶路撒冷圣殿的祭司大概有多少人？还记得吗？2万多人。
So around that time, the people who served in the holy temple was about 20,000.
他们被分成24个班，轮流值班。
So they have 24 shifts to serve.
每天早晚举行2次献祭的活动。
They have two ceremonies, once in the morning, once in the evening.
选择的祭物就是没有瑕疵的羔羊。
And the sacrifice was what was the lamb without blemish.
那些完整无瑕疵的羔羊，那些祭物从哪里来啊？
And where are those sheep came from?
为了保证无缺。 在伯利恒及其附近地区，专门属于圣殿所管辖的牧区和羊群。
So they actually owned many pastoral lands and their own sheep in the fields outside of Bethlehem.
所以天使向他们显现，并且最先见到婴儿耶稣基督的，极有可能就是那一群经过严格挑选的、值得信赖的。 与圣殿献祭有着深厚情感的一群，负责牧放、看守耶路撒冷圣殿所属的羊群的那一群特殊的牧羊人。
So the angel really appeared probably to this group of shepherd who really shepherd for the sheep of the holy temple, and they are They're chosen, they're trustworthy, and they're really devoted to what they're asked to do.
他们虽然名不见经传，社会地位卑微。
Although they were unknown and they were lowest in the social status.
可是他们有一对敏锐的耳朵，有一双聪慧的眼睛，有一颗顺服的心。
But they have sharp eyes and sharp ears and bright eyes. And most importantly, the submissive heart.
他们听见天使的声音，看见夜间的异象之后，
So when they heard the voice of the angel and see the vision during the night,
就顺服圣灵的引导而付出了行动。
And they were obedient to the Spirit and put that into actions.
感谢主，在我们今天的。 教会生活和教会的施工中，
So we thanks Lord in our today's church life and church services.
我们可以看到许许多多在背后默默无闻的摆上自己的弟兄姐妹。
So we see many brothers and sisters who serve behind the curtain.
求上帝纪念我们这些既可爱 又可敬的弟兄姐妹。
So we ask Lord to remember and bless those lovely and respectful brothers and sisters.
相对而言
，On the other hand，
那些外邦的智者寻找新生王耶稣，要拜他，是用心灵和诚实拜他的吗
？So whether those the Magi wants to worship him，
是用心灵和诚实敬拜那唯一的上帝吗
？Whether they're using their heart, their spirit and their honesty to worship this only God，
说穿了，他们或许就是在履行一种职业行为吧。
And the bottom line for them was really they're trying to fulfill their professional duties.
因为他们见了那个小孩子之后，拜了以后怎么样
？The reason I said that because once they saw Jesus，
回去继续从事他们的解梦、法术、星象等揭示世间奥秘的科学研究。
So they return and continue their professional pursuit.
继续享受他们活跃于皇宫贵族上流社会的那种泛神论的大科学家的生活。
And went back to their scientist life to mingle with the royal and the upper class.
但是这又何妨
？But why that's important?
上帝用他那无与伦比的智慧。借着外邦智者们孜孜不倦的呕心沥血的不畏艰难的科学的心智
But God used their tireless and painstaking and brave mind to pursue science
追求科学的心智
But really the mind to
用所谓科学的方法去引导这些不信的人
And using their scientific method to guide them
他们或许会说用我们的专业用我们的方法来寻找的
and use their profession their skills
上帝就是借着他们向世人宣告主耶稣道成肉身来到这个世上的目的
but God used them to make that proclamation of the word become flesh
我们来看马太福音二章十一节进了房子看见小孩子和他母亲玛利亚就夫妇拜那小孩子揭开宝盒拿黄金乳香、末药为礼物献给他。
As they come to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
昨天我在前头坐着，我问王林孩子们在唱诗歌，我说耶稣为什么是他们这几个博士为什么是进了房子，不是进了马棚呢
？Why they came to the house, not come to the manger?
为什么？很可能牧羊人呢和外邦智者他们同时得到了 baby Jesus 降生的消息。
It's very possible, actually, both the shepherds and the Magi learned the news at the same time.
只不过牧羊人是在伯利恒的郊区连夜赶到城里。见到了马棚中、马槽中的耶稣基督。
Because the shepherd was in the field of Bethlehem, and they overnight they came to see Jesus in the manger.
而那几个外邦智者，他们得到消息之后呢，预备行装，骑着骆驼长途跋涉，几个月之后才到达了耶路撒冷。
The Magi have to prepare for their trip and getting their camels together and travel. A few months later, they arrive.
那他们来到伯利恒的时候呢，按照罗马上帝颁布的报名上册、办理户口、登记的人，早已各归各乡了。
So yeah, those people already followed the law and went back to their birthplace for the census.
此时，约瑟和玛利亚呢，已经租到了房子，而离开了马棚。
At that time, Joseph and Mary already rented a house and left the manger.
那来自东方的博士、外邦的智者献上三样的礼物。
So they presented three gifts to the baby.
那这三样礼物在新旧约圣经中都有显示。
So the three gifts are all recorded in the New and Old Testament.
黄金代表的是君王、王族。
And the gold representing the king.
那个乳香呢，是具有浓郁香味的一种树枝，或者是树胶。
frankincense is a kind of natural perfume. It's kind of like a resin and a gum.
是专门用于圣殿献祭的用途，代表的是祭司。
Used for sacrifices, ceremonies, sacrificial ceremony, and representing the priest.
而墨药呢，则是出自阿拉伯地区的一种极名贵的香料。
The myrrh is a very rare and expensive spice.
具有防止尸体腐烂而专用于殡葬。
It was used to keep the body from decay, and used for funerals.
所代表的是受难和埋葬，and
symbolizing suffering and burial.
不知道他们当时脑子清不清楚，他们所献的，就是泛神论者的敬虔的奉献，竟然预言了这位降生的基督，他是真实的王，是完全的大祭司，是人类的救主。So
didn't know whether they knew what those three gifts meant back then, but through their so-called pious dedication, they actually prophesized the birth of this Messiah.
看到这个场面，想象这个场面， 大家会不会感到疑惑呀？
When you see this picture, whether you will have any questions?
外邦的智者们千里迢迢来到一个穷乡僻壤的山村， 见到了一个极普通的年轻的女子， 抱着一个小孩子， 走出一个极普通的院落的时候。
So really, the wise men traveled 1,000 miles, coming to this little village of nowhere, and see this very common lady hold a little kid, came out from a very common courtyard.
他们竟然义无反顾地下拜，而奉上他们所携带的。
And did not even think twice and kneeled down immediately and presented these very three precious gifts.
这一连串不可思议的事情是怎么样发生的？
So how those sort of unimaginable things just happened?
而且就在他们完成使命要反回耶路撒冷向大希律王汇报情况的时候，怎么样啊？
Once they finish their worship, and before they return, and what happened?
马太福音22:12，在梦中上帝指示他们不要回去见希律，于是他们从另一条路回自己的家乡去。
And it says, having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by other route.
其实在梦中得启示是他们的专业，是他们的职业，是外邦智者博士们最熟悉。
So actually, being giving revelation through the dream was something they were really good at, and it's a part of their professional competencies.
上帝就是借着他们的星象学知识和文化背景，借着这些大科学家来引导他们。
The God used what they are good at, and used what they know, and to guide them, and to help them.
那今天我们从马太福音2:1-12，借着人的小智慧遇到了上帝无与伦比的大智慧的彰显这个主题。So
it really show a very show how the human wisdom to encounter the manifestation of the unmatchable wisdom of our Lord.
回顾一下，我们重温了，不是说是认识，其实是重温了四种人。
So we actually sort of get refreshed to know the four kinds of people.
有一种人呢，是一群活跃于皇宫贵族上流社会、貌似敬虔的外邦泛神论者的智者。
So one of the group were those the wise men who mingled with the royal, the upper class, and looked very pious.
那是一群潜心于揭示世间奥秘的大。
And they really devote themselves to understand and to reveal the mystery of the universe.
另外有一群常年在旷野，风餐露宿的牧羊人。
Another group was the shepherd who lived in the fields.
他们名不见经传，社会地位卑微。
They were unknown, and they were low in the class.
但却是一群敏锐、聪慧、顺服、随时回应圣灵的引导而付出行动的人。
But a group of people who were sharp, who were bright, and who were obedient, always respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit and put their leading into actions.
我们也成为了一群生活在犹太上层的社会。
We also learned there were the upper class of the Jews who were the high priests and the teachers.
他们每天按部就班的出入圣殿，忙于圣殿的礼仪、律法的论证、教导等等。
They serve in the holy temple and follow all the laws and rules and teaching and approving the laws.
对耶稣救恩的事情处于完全麻木的状态。
They were so numb, not even realize the prophecy of Jesus.
我们也重温了一个精于权术、左右逢源的犹太王大希律。
We also notice the last one is the one were very good at the politics.
您的权欲熏心，嫉妒猜忌。 不惜对身边的亲信和自己的妻子、儿子、长辈、亲人，以及所有他看为不利的人，凶狠冷酷，嗜杀无度。And
this envious, this have a strong desire for power, jealous and suspicious, and also killing their own family and royal followers.
他的杀手也不惜面对降生不久的救主。
And this king also trying to kill this baby Jesus.
四种人，弟兄姐妹们，哪一种是值得我们愿意效法的人？
So among those four, which one is someone we like to learn from?
我们核心思想。
So, you know, let's go back and pondering on that question.
圣诞快乐。
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
We 现在一起来唱一首回应诗歌，靠主夸口。
Let's sing this responding song together.
神花口，要以人是神花口，要以人是神花口，神你日做你人。
我邀请大家一起起立，我们用上帝的话语接受赐福。May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. 愿主耶稣基督的恩惠、父神的慈爱、圣灵的感动，常与我们众人同在，从今时直到永永远远。Amen. 大家请坐。